News Central, show number 614 for October 1st, 2010. Geek News Central sponsored by GoDaddy.com, Citric, GoToMeeting, and Infusionsoft.com. And we got a great show for you. Tonight we're going to talk about Apple TV and the great design, but a little light on media. We're going to talk about app distribution pain. We're going to talk a little bit about a kind of a different spin on the AngelGate. We'll kind of wrap that discussion up. We're going to talk about WordPress and the Microsoft shakeup. And then how short should we go? Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central Studio overlooking Greater Oahu. And you know, it's absolutely a gorgeous night because we have a very light rain here in Hawaii. It looked like it's been wanting to rain cats and dogs all day, but it's just started to have a nice light drizzle. The trade winds are barely blowing, so that wind going through the rain, it's just like a natural air conditioner. It's terrific. And the office is probably 69, 70 degrees right now, and it's absolutely perfect. So I'm hoping it continues because we've been dealing with a little bit of stickiness, for a better word. Last night there was absolutely no wind. I had the ceiling fan running on high just because it was, you know, kind of ugh, you know. One thing about Hawaii, if the trade winds are blowing, it's absolutely fantastic. But if the trade winds kind of calm down, the humidity starts to creep up just a little bit. And nothing like being in the, like in Florida or anything like that. Don't get me wrong. The humidity never gets that high. Not to the point where it actually makes you sweat. But, you know, it's a nice trade-off when there's a little bit of trade winds. It's just fantastic here in Honolulu tonight. So, of course, I want to give a warm welcome to the Honolulu, the longtime listeners of the show, folks that are been subscribed to the podcast from the wee single-digit numbers. You are my super Ohana, and of course, everyone that listens to this show, everyone that's new, been here a week, been here 6 months, been here 5 years, you're all part of the family, and I want to welcome, of course, all the Ohana, and thanks for staying subscribed and being part of the family. We want to welcome listeners from countries all over the world. 178 countries are tuned in to the Geek News Central podcast. And actually, I had a note written down on this, and for some reason, the number got dropped. My note says 170, but I know that we checked it a couple of shows ago, and it was 178. But hey, main thing is about the show is I don't want you to miss a single episode. And, you know, the beauty about the Geek News Central podcast is you can consume it anytime. Sure, I'm recording live right now on Ustream and on Justin.tv, but, you know, it's in the middle of the night for most of you. So you're going to get up in the morning and you're going to remember, oh, yeah, I know Todd releases a show every Tuesday, every Friday. And the reason you're going to know that is because you're going to have an email sitting in your inbox that basically outlines everything I talked about in the show. So you get two emails a week basically saying, hey, here's what's new on the show. Make sure you grab it. If you're subscribed via iTunes, if you've had iTunes opened up, it'll automatically been downloaded and will sync to your mobile device. Of course, you can check us out on BlackBerry. You can get us on Android. You can watch us on the Roku. You can watch us on the Boxy. You can listen a multitude of ways. But really, the pathway to get there is through the RSS feed at geeknewscentral.com. And you'll find all of the RSS feeds on the website, real easy to see. And it's not even complicated. It'll be right there in your face when you load the page. And get subscribed to the show. That way you'll never miss a single episode. I want to, of course, just it's a new day, a new month. And I want to, of course, this is the time that I always go. And I really, first of all, I should have thanked the sponsors last month or last show for being here with us all month and helping keep the lights on. but a new month has started, and we've got GoDaddy on board. We've got Citrix on, GoToMeeting on for some of the shows. We got Infusionsoft.com on for some of the shows. All told, those sponsors really allow me to do what I do and allow this show and everything that I do here to continue to grow. Keeps food on my family's, you know, food on the table, pays the light bill, helps pay the house note, you name it. Really, the sponsors are what makes things go here. So as I'm talking about the sponsors tonight, you know, consider them as a as basically the surrogate. You know, they're the ones that make sure that I'm able to continue at the rate that I am. And so, you know, just take care of them. If you're over at GoDaddy or at Citrix GoToMeeting or you're at Infusionsoft, you know, check their products and services out. Okay, what else have I got listed here on my list? Hey, this coming Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 noon Eastern, I'll be having my morning tech show. This will be the fourth episode of the morning tech show. It's the new show that I've launched coming up on the 1 month mark. And you know what's beauty about the morning tech show is it's just kind of a seeing how it goes as I continue to build the audience on it and develop how the format is. And it's just a lot of fun work for me I don't have much hair as it is, but it allows me to let my hair down and relax. So come on, hang out with me on Saturday morning. It'll be live streamed. And of course, it'll be available later via podcast, but we're going to have Rick Calvert from Blog World Expo. He's going to be on. And then I got to lock in a second guest at this point, but we'll have someone else as invigorating as Rick. I'm going to be excited because we're going to bring Rick on. We're going to talk about Blog World Expo, what's going to be happening, what's going to be going on in Vegas, special events. I guarantee you it's going to be a great hour, 15 minutes. I talked to Rick on the phone today, and he's excited to come on. So we'll have Rick on from Blog World Expo on Saturday, along with one other guest. Of course, we've got a Roku that we're giving away on the next show. And this is the Roku that didn't get claimed by a listener on our last giveaway. All you got to send an email to me, say geeknews@gmail.com. Send an email to geeknews@gmail.com. Put in the subject line, I want to win, and you're registered. I'm hoping, though, that you don't send it from some email address that you don't check, because we'll be emailing you back and announcing on the show next episode. We got a Roku to give away then. And then our Millions and Millions Served contest, where our 6-year anniversary show, which really we're one day short from when the actual 6-year anniversary is, but a week from today will be our 6-year anniversary show. And all you got to do is the same email address, is send a estimate of what you think, how many times this show, and this show alone, not the CES coverage, not the stuff we did at Ford, not the stuff that we've done at NAB, not the stuff that we've done, just this show, Geek News Central, and it's 600, and I think there'll be, 16 episodes at that point. How many times will it have been downloaded? And I'm just going to tell you right off the bat, we're well into 8 figures, okay? So that can give you a little bit of a clue on what number to guess. And anyway, we'll have a winner on the next 2 shows, giving away a couple of Roku devices. So we look forward to that. Hey, really, who makes that possible? GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy.com is a longtime sponsor here. And really, I want to show you guys something. I feel something really cool. I just didn't even know it was going to happen. Let me bring up the right menu here. Let me bring that up, and we'll fade this in. For those of you who are watching the show, I've got the GoDaddy page up. For those of you that are listening, what I'm doing is I'm going to scroll down to the bottom of it, and then there's a quote at the bottom of this. And this quote says, "I know that GoDaddy hosting isn't going to let me down," says Cochran. "I've never worried about having enough bandwidth or disk space, and the 99.9% uptime guarantee means my site is always going to be live without interruption for my readers." Todd Cochran, author of Podcasting the Do-It-Yourself Guide. There's a quote that I made 5+ years ago, and it's live right on the GoDaddy hosting page, and I thought that's pretty cool. Now, I'm sure that they rotate in other people's quotes, but it just happened to be there, and you guys know I use this show is hosted on GoDaddy.com. All the infrastructure for Geek News Central, you know, the media is delivered a different location just because of the high volume of media, but Geek News Central is on a dedicated server along with my other sites. And you can get started real easy. You know, they did a cost comparison here. For $7.99, you get 1.5 terabytes of bandwidth, That's a lot of bandwidth, you know, just for just an average website. You get 150 gigs of storage space. It's again, it's $7.99. Closest competitor is $9.95, and they only give you 500 gigs of bandwidth and 10 gigs of disk space. And then the price just goes up from there from other competitors. You can save a lot of money by using my promo code Todd20. That's Todd20. It'll save you 20% if you sign up for a GoDaddy shared hosting account for 1 year. So that would be $8 times 12, $96. You take 20% off from that. You're back down around the $77 range, and huge savings. And you get 1 year's worth of shared hosting account by using my promo code Todd20. Of course, Geek 5 will save you 15% on orders of $20 or more. Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. ComSale and ComSale 2 will get you new domains and renewals. So definitely check all my GoDaddy promo codes over at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Thanks for GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. All right, let me get into my list. Hey, Sherry from the Sherry Cast is going to arrive here in Honolulu Sunday. I go pick mom up at the airport. She gets in about 7:30, and she was flying on United. She actually bought a ticket on Hotline or one of those, you know, where they can go and you find the best price. And, of course, I fly with United a lot. I'm a 1K member over there. And I thought, hey, let's go upgrade mom. I'll get her up into first class. At least when she's flying on the, United leg from LA to Honolulu. So I called the 1K desk, and folks, if you have a family member that has a, status with an airlines, be careful buying tickets through Hotwire or any of those different types of, you know, discount airline, because she had a T-class ticket and couldn't upgrade it. It was an unupgradable ticket. So, well, you know, I tried. I did everything I could, but, it's, you know, she's coming. She'll be here, and I'm sure I'll have her on the show for just a little bit on the Monday night show for the Tuesday release. And we'll probably talk just a little bit about why we haven't been doing the Sherry Cast and what's been going on with her. But anyway, she arrives in town. She's here for, I guess, 10 days. Of course, I leave for Blog World and New Media Expo on the 12th, Tuesday the 12th, the evening. I fly out for Vegas. And then I go to Austin, Texas the following week. I'm in Austin for all week, so I'll be down there. Actually going to go down and meet with the New Tech folks and say hello to them and find out where the heck my TriCaster TCXD 850 is. They may not let me in the door as vocal as I have been, but the TriCaster here, it has to be shipped to the new owner. I've already announced who the new owner was. Andy McCaskey over SDR News has bought the TriCaster studio here, and he is going to be, I have to get it to him because his new enterprise is ramped up and he's ready to go, and this is the only thing that's missing. So what's going to happen is I'm going to be in Austin for that week. Then I'm going to come home, and I may not have a TriCaster to do two shows with. It's okay. If it's not here by then, I'll deal with it. But that will be almost the end of October, see? So we're going to be talking about the week of the 25th when I come back for just a week. So if it isn't here that week, then, you know, they got a little more breathing room, and because I'm going to be gone and on the road the first 3 weeks in November. So we're going to be a lot of on-the-road shows starting here in a couple of weeks. But I'm here with you for at least another 2 weeks, I guess, is if I look at the calendar right here. Another 2 weeks I'm here in Honolulu with you. So don't worry. The shows will continue no matter what. We've got all kinds of technology. We can always bring stream live no matter what. But I'm hoping they deliver my – all that cash is gone. You know, that's paid for, and my bank account is, you know, got squashed this much because of that was not a cheap purchase. And it's been on order since June, July, August, September, 4 months. I knew it wasn't being released until July 15th, but 4 months and that much money out is painful. So anyway, I've talked enough on this stuff. Let me go ahead and get us into the tech. Of course, before we get into the tech, one last mention here. You guys know that really that GoToMeeting is an absolute outstanding web conferencing solution. I've used it here on a day-to-day basis. You know, meeting with clients online, you know, is easy. And you don't have to get in your car. You don't have to get an airplane. You don't have to travel somewhere. You know, it's easy to just launch a meeting. It's one-click start. There's no hassle to it whatsoever. You get unlimited meetings. You can do more. You don't have to travel as much. And really, the online meeting service brought to you by Citrix is perfect for sales presentations, product demos. It's a great product. It's just, you know, the thing I keep telling people about this product is it just works. Unlike so many other, you know, wannabe companies that have products, I go into webinars by different groups and the host can't talk because no one, it just is always seems to be trouble. But for $49 a month, you get unlimited meetings plus voice over IP conferencing solution is available as well. And as a listener of this show, now here's a change to the program. You can go to GoToMeeting.com. So in other words, go over to GoToMeeting.com. Click the try it free button and use the promo code podcast. Use the promo code podcast at GoToMeeting.com when you click the try it free button. And that's at GoToMeeting.com. It's free for the 45-day trial, okay? A 45-day trial versus a 30-day trial. That'll get it into your system. You can get used to it and use it for 6 weeks. And go over there and get a trial of GoToMeeting. And thanks for GoToMeeting for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, let's go ahead and get into tech. That's what you guys came for. And I got a stack of stuff. I mean, huge stack. You know, one thing, we the bloggers at Geek News Central, we've been talking. And, you know, we always kind of watch which articles get tweeted a lot. And, you know, some do, some don't. You kind of have an idea what's gonna get tweeted a lot. But one of the contributors, Andrew, wrote a blog post that was on Virgin debuting 3D on-demand movies. And, you know, it was a little three-paragraph blog post. And, you know, it's, you know, a little nice little article. And it got tweeted 28 times. Now, for Geek News Central, that's a pretty good number. You know, that's a good tweet number. But we don't know why. And we looked at the article and we're talking about it internally. You know, how did that happen? And really what it is, it was trending and people were searching for Virgin Media and we're at the top of the search results and people just kept hitting it. And that drove a lot of traffic for us that day. And you just never know I'm not focused on, you know, the hit count. That's not important. What's important is that there's original material here with original opinions being written by the writers at the website. And, you know, I think the guys are doing a great job, guys and gals, because we have both on the team writing. And what I've been asked is, you guys know that I have a number of writers at Geek News Central that are all paid. And I've had four or five people ask me, hey, Todd, I want to become a contributing editor at Geek News Central. And at this point, I've got the maximum amount really that I can of writers that I can afford to pay. But I basically have replied to a number of people, say, if you want to write, you can. I can bring you on. If we have a great month, then maybe, you know, I can throw you some money at the end of the month. But until I have another writer drop off, I won't be able to add any more at this time. So if you want to write for Geek News Central and want to just get your name out there and get some exposure, we're always looking, I guess, become a journeyman, journey blogger or something. And if you're interested, just send me an email and I'll let you know. And I've replied to a couple of people that basically explain the situation, but I wanted to clarify that here in the show. Apple TV, I missed the delivery today. I wasn't here when FedEx came, but they came to deliver it. But the folks, a whole bunch of people have gotten their hands on this thing. But here is the statement of the day that I think is going to make everyone go, a little bit. The folks at CNET said, the Apple TV review, outstanding design, but light on TV content. Now that, my friends, is an absolute kiss of death. If you have a TV device and it doesn't have very much TV content, whether it be shows like mine, which I don't really consider, mine considered new media content, or just regular, you know, programming from the studios, that's a big concern. And they say here it is. The Apple TV's shortcomings are all about content, which is arguably the most important aspect of a product like this. Currently, the only supported TV networks are ABC, Fox, Disney, and BBC. And even with those networks, many popular shows such as Modern Family, House, they're not available. And that's a lot of missing content for people looking to ditch their cable subscriptions, especially when the companies like Roku offer Amazon Voice on Demand, which streams TV shows from every network and will soon have Hulu Plus. So, you know, for me, I'm like cheering for Roku because the number of Roku viewers that are watching this show is just going nowhere but straight up. We'll see what impact the Apple TV has. Sure, you can watch the show. If you bought one, you can find the podcast and you subscribe and they'll stream it and you'll be able to do. We're going to be watching real close as these hit the really hit the shelves and start getting into people's homes over the next couple of days. We're going to be glued to our stats system to, of course, we're watching a little over 5,000 different media creators content delivery through our stats system at Raw Voice. And we're going to see how much impact the Apple TV has on new media creators, if it has any impact whatsoever. But, you know, I thought this was going to be a concern. Now, they did find an 8 meg flash memory stick in it, which is an indication, you know, maybe apps aren't so far behind. And stuff that we've talked about already, there's definitely some potential there. But if you get your Apple TV and you get it plugged in, you know, as soon as mine is in my hot little hands, I'll have it plugged in and I'll be doing my own personal review and I'll break it down for you on the Monday night show. But not a good start by the folks over at Apple TV. Hey, I want to give big, huge congratulations to Michael Arrington and the team at TechCrunch. You know, no matter what you think of Michael Arrington, TechCrunch, wow. They are definitely the king of the hill right now as far as tech content goes. You know, they're obviously in the same league as Engadget and Gizmodo. And, you know, I kind of like TechCrunch coverage a little better than even Gizmodo and Engadget simply because they get in there and they just get a little bit more nitty-gritty. Oops, I'll just push that button two or three more times. And what I, you know, what I see as a delta is that I get a lot of press releases, a huge number. Every day I probably get 50. That come into my email inbox. And I'll read a press release on a product that I might be interested in. And then I go over to TechMeme and see if it's trending. And I'll go over there and I'll see the first article is by Engadget. So I'll click on the Engadget link or the Gizmodo link. And I'll go over to their website. And it's just a reiteration of the press release. It's, you know, it takes the top points and the talking stuff. And there's really not a lot of real review. Or, and sometimes there is, but usually it's just regen press releases. Now, I know the Engadget and Gizmodo folks, they're probably saying, no, that's not the case. That's not the case. But, you know, if you see the press release and you look at the article and you're back and forth, they don't plagiarize the press release. Don't get me wrong. But it's, you know, it's like they've taken a lot of, now, if they get a product in hand, they definitely do a different type of a write up. But if they're just talking about a product, it's, you know, the hot, I don't know. Maybe that's what to expect. But my approach has always been that we should do as much research as we can and then do a little more in-depth write-up on stuff. And I think TechCrunch really does that really well. And congratulations to them on their $25 to $60 million payday. We'll see what happens. Only thing is it's under AOL. And I don't know. They're saying they're going to have independent editorial control. Only time will tell on that. But you know, huge congratulations. I can only hope to aspire to have Geek News Central, Raw Voice, or our company grow to the point where we attract that kind of attention. So good job to those folks. Here over on the New York Times, they've got an article talking about in the essentially, it's an article about this new star that is causing a little bit of a disturbance in the science community. The planet is called Gillies 581G. And it's a planet that's in rotation around Gillies 581, a red dwarf. It's vastly dimmer than our sun and about 20 light years from Earth. But they say it's potentially in the habitable zone. Very well, based on its distance from the star, could be a potential planet out there that would sustain life. Now, they're not making any additional claims, but they feel that the planet could sustain liquid water. And where there's water, there probably most generally is life. So we'll see. And they think that the planet has enough gravity to retain its atmosphere, which is, of course, is important so that the water doesn't get burned off. But that's news is making the rounds today in a big, big way. Over on E-Week, boy, I tell you, I don't know what you guys think about this, but, of course, Senate has adjourned, and all the senators and House of Representative members have retired to their districts, and they are now in full campaign mode. I think all of them should be fired, every last one of them, and we bring in fresh meat. Doesn't matter if it's a D or an R by their name, but just, you know, clean house with the whole group. Senator Harry Waxman says the proposed legislation to regulate internet service providers is dead. Essentially, legislation aimed at regulating how internet providers such as Comcast interact and block or throttle traffic is not going to make it through, and at least not until the next session. And it basically told the FCC at this point, you're going to have to do something because we can't. We haven't been able to come to agreement. There was a lot of bipartisan bickering on this, and no one could come to an agreement, and it went down in flames. So this is basically about net neutrality. So only time will tell how it's going to play out. But we'll see if the FCC is able to flex their arms. But sadly, I don't know if the FCC is going to have a lot of, for a better word, a lot of jurisdiction, because the bill was leaked, and in the draft of the bill that was leaked, the bill would have curbed the FCC's ability to enforce the guidelines laid out in the bill after 2 years. Said the agency also would not be allowed to impose additional rules on internet service providers the draft mandated. So this one document was going to lock the FCC out after 2 years and not allow any more new, which I think is simply insane, because everything's changing. You know, what happens on the internet and what happens in this space is changing on a weekly basis. So to think that they weren't going to allow the FCC to have any more enforcement rules on internet service providers, to me, was widely eye-opening. That digital rights public interest groups are worried, and they want the FCC to step in legally to protect consumers of broadband, wireline, and wireless internet services. And we will see. We'll see how this turns out. So what's you guys' thoughts on this? Do you guys have an opinion? Do you think that Congress should come back and try to put another bill in place? I'd love to hear your feedback. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com if you've got comments, or if you want to call our 24-hour, 7-day-a-week voicemail hotline, or the worst of the hotline, where you can call in and say, great, I hate you, love you, do something different, change this. You can do that at 619-342-7365. Hey, Apple TV, and I should have covered this in the beginning when I was talking about Apple TV, but they're already hacking it. And they found a way to get it plugged into iTunes through a micro USB, and they're already at it. It will only be a few days before this thing is going to be jailbroke, and people are going to be going crazy with it. I can't wait. I really can't. So if Apple's not going to make it have lots of features, the hackers will. That's for sure. Hey, NASA has gotten orders that bypass the moon. Finally, the House late on Wednesday approved the budget and came to, I guess, some sort of compromise with the Senate finally. And essentially, the House on a 304-118 vote on Wednesday approved a Senate written bill authorizing a $58 billion NASA budget over the next 3 years. They've been, been forced to cancel the Constellation program as the president wanted. And they want a heavy lift rocket to be put in its place, and they want to offload as much technology and support private industry in getting us into space. We'll see how this turns out, but they did authorize the one additional shuttle mission, which cut heavily into, it's several Bs and billions there that are going to have to go towards that contingency, which is not, it's going to force them to scale back some other stuff. So I guess they paid for two additional flights. And we'll see. It was definitely a lopsided vote in favor of the bill, but, you know, they're saying it's a bad bill, but those they're on the other side. So well, at least they got a bill. At least they got money. But they're not going to be able to start yet until some contingency funds are put in place. Because remember, we didn't have a budget this year. There was no budget. The House did not do a budget for the federal government spending. They did everything through appropriations. So unlike you and I, which do budgets, they just are appropriating money and not balancing their bookkeeping. Hey, the folks over at Google Maps, you guys got to check this out. This is pretty cool. They... All right, you know, you can drive by my house in Google Maps. You can drive almost anywhere in the world at this point. Google Maps is on seven different countries at this, or seven different all seven continents at this point. And you can go down to Antarctica, and they've got Google Maps going on here. And it's you know, I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, oh, you have got to be kidding me. That they were able to make this happen. I'm just, this has got to be a joke. And maybe they went and took a few pictures, but there's definitely no car driving around Antarctica building a Google map. I got some guy walking, I guess. I guess they walk, you know, they got enough pictures to say that, and down in the bottom of the picture, there's a penguin down there. So, pretty funny what they've done, but I'll have that link up in the show notes. You can take a walk around Antarctica. All right. You know, have you guys heard about these Zen magnets or buckyballs? Are your kids like crazy about? This is like the first I've heard of them, but I guess there's a big, big war going on between who has the best magnets. All right. And what they are is these little round magnets. You know, they're very, very small. Matter of fact, if you watch the video, they're 0.50, what is it, 0.50 microns or something. They're real tiny, not microns. That would be 0.5, what is it, point? And I don't know. They're really tiny. They're about this big, quarter inch or something. Let's use something we all can relate to. Five microns, oh my God. That's like the size of a hair. Anyway, these two companies are feuding it out, and it all started with the CEO of Buckyballs calling the folks at Zen Magnets and saying, what you're doing is wrong. You're saying your magnets are better than ours, and we're going to sue you into oblivion, and we're a $20 million company, and blah, 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 blah. And it's a seven-minute video. And I think you guys will get a kick out of this. It's an article over on Tech Dirt. But, you know, company presidents and CEOs, take and count to 10 before you see something that upsets you and you pick up the phone and call some other's company and you get a voicemail. You know, video, audio will be held against you in the new internet. It's not pretty. It really, really isn't. You guys will get a kick out of it. It's just one of those live and learn type of things that this company president definitely has went through, because the YouTube video plays right into his very angry call. NASA is and scientists all over the world are really scratching their heads. They're trying to come up with an explanation on how they found certain types of shrimp like creatures. For better words, or fish living underneath an ice shelf. And this was they'd done a core sample, and they're actually 12 and a half miles inland or on an ice shelf. And they found swimming 600 feet below the ice, pinkish orange creatures. And the scientists are completely bamboozled by this. They never thought that any type of shrimp or jellyfish or anything like that would be able to live that far away from open water. So they're having to rethink, you know, what potentially could live not only here on Earth in certain places, but what could live on different planets and living under specific types of conditions. So they're pretty excited about this find. This happened quite a while ago. But this article was covered over at the Daily Galaxy.com. and talking about all the cool types of discoveries they've made on different types of species they found that they didn't think should exist. You know, John Dvorak, I don't normally go over to his website, but I found a link in a this was a link that was submitted by a listener, one of the listener RSS feeds. And I would say this is the first article I've read on John Dvorak's website in many years, but it's on his Dvorak.org website. And it's a cool video. It's on ink, how ink is made. And this is one of those, you know, they got that show at that's on TV that, you know, it goes through and how stuff is made. Well, this is an 8-minute, 52-second video essentially on how inks are created. And I thought it was pretty cool. Now, you know, I'm kind of a techie guy and I like this kind of stuff. So if you want to know how ink is made and the process that they go through, it's actually more complicated than what you would think and what they have to go through to get a really nice ink that's used in printing of magazines and so forth. So anyway, how that it's not talking about printer ink, at least this company's doesn't appear to be making, but you'll see why probably it costs as much as it does. Link will be up in the show notes. Many of you probably do not like the conversation view on Gmail. I like the conversation view in Gmail only when I'm searching for something. And what I like about it is because you can, for example, I was looking for a history of what I had talked to with a potential advertiser. And I couldn't remember something that the individual had said in an email. So I went and just put the guy's email address in, loaded it up. And I had the full, I found the thread and it had the full list of, you know, his comments, my response, his comments, my response, and so forth all the way down through. And it was based on a conversation that we'd had almost 5 months ago, but I was able to go back through and say, oh yeah, now I can refresh and I can remember that. So the conversation view in Gmail search, I really like. Because I really can't do that easily with Thunderbird, and that's about the only time I really go into web-based email. So I know many of you don't like the conversation view within the actual product itself when you're actually in your normal inbox. So they've got a way to turn off the conversation view now, and this is this made Susan Bell and a few other people real happy on the as bloggers, and I guess a lot of people. Across the country are cheering this change. So if you don't like the conversation view on Gmail, you can now turn it off and you won't have to deal with it anymore. So, but it does serve a purpose for me at least sometimes. All right. We talked a little bit at the beginning of the show, how, WordPress, actually, am I ready to talk about that? No, I'm not. This comes in a later article. This one is about Windows Live Essentials. Remember when we used to buy a Windows PC, we used to get Outlook Express, we used to get a whole bunch of embedded applications. Well, Windows Live Essentials 2011 has been released today, and now you're going to be able to go in and get a variety of different applications. You'll be able to get My Movie. You'll be able to have some desktop remote stuff. Just it ties in and it gives you like Windows Live Mail, Windows Live Messenger, a Movie Maker, Photo Gallery, stuff that you normally don't have on your PC. So there's all these applications you can download and put on your Windows machine now that you could not find before. Now, some of the stuff you may not want, but you can log in with your Facebook ID, your MySpace ID, LinkedIn. It makes it easy for you to get connected with it. So anyway, I have this link up in the. But anyway, Windows Live Messenger Essentials is available as of today. This, you know, we've got a number of people that listen to the show that are hearing impaired, and you say, okay, how do they listen to the show, Todd, if they're hearing impaired? Well, they don't. They watch. They watch the show, or they run the audio through a application which will generate text for them. Or sometimes the people are watching the show when they can see my lips or actually reading my lips. And then we have, obviously, vision-impaired people that are just listening only. So I hope I didn't mess that up. But anyway, Congress today, and, you know, I try to make Geek News Central very accessible. I try to make it so that it allows a reader, in other words, a screen reader, to come in and be able to capture the content on the website. Been pretty sensitive to that. One thing that hearing impaired people really rely on most content that they watch on TV to get a great experience is the closed captioning, right? Closed captioning guarantees that they're going to be able to understand what's being said in the show because it's right there on the bottom of the screen. Well, the House of Representatives have passed a closed captioning bill for online TV. So what this is going to do is this is going to eventually bring closed captions to web television. This is interesting. It's called the 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act of 2010. It's forcing broadcasters to add closed captions to all programming that previously aired on TV. So it's right now it's for TV content that's coming onto the internet. It says online exclusive content from big broadcasters. Now, I don't know how they're going to term that. Is exempt for now, as are any online-only video makers. However, the law includes stipulations to revise the issue if broadcasters are eventually going to distribute a majority of their program exclusively online. Now, we know that YouTube and Hulu have worked real hard to automate closed captioning so that it is automatically created. And I got to thinking about that. I was thinking to myself, okay, what would I do for Geek News Central if today I was required by law to have closed captioning for the show? And that's expensive. And as much as we want the show to be, I guess, accessible, for a better word, I don't know how I could afford to do it. I really don't. Obviously, broadcaster, and it kind of tugs at me a little bit, and I have to think about that because I don't think I've ever actually checked on the cost, but I know that doing translations for the show is generally pretty high, so much per word, and you do an hour and 15 minute show to get that converted into closed captioning, and it quickly would not be inexpensive. Now, I have tried doing some capturing of using like Dragon Naturally Speaking, but it's not perfect. It really, really isn't. So for those of you that do your best to listen or to watch the show, and if you're either, depending on what your status is, if you're hearing impaired or vision impaired, how effective is the software that you have today to be able to listen to this show or get a reader or an application that will convert my voice into text? How capable was that, or is it not? And what do you think about this 21st Century Communications and Video Accessibility Act? I know that you're cheering it, but at the same time, I'm trying to figure out how we build a model and how we continue to grow this content, because at some point, they're going to throw the hammer down on everybody and say, if you have video online, it's got to be accessible. Right? That's going to come. You can't imagine that it won't. The question is, will it be affordable? Will we be able to do it without going broke? So anyway, love to hear you guys' feedback on this. And, I'll take comments from everyone, but, some of you are going to think it's strange that we have people that, listen or view the show or that are either vision or hearing impaired. I know that, we have obviously more people that are vision impaired that listen to the show, than anything else. But I do know that I've gotten a number of emails. And actually what happens is I get some people have left comments on the show by doing a relay where they actually, use a operator that does a relay for a person that's hearing impaired. And, if you haven't ever had one of those calls before, it's an eye opener and how that works. But, I've had several people leave comments about the show from a relay. So I don't know how those tools work. Maybe someone can clue me in here. And maybe that might be a good thing for a Saturday show at some point to get someone that can tell us about the tools that people that are vision and hearing impaired use, and how easy or how difficult it is for them to access content on the net, especially multimedia content like this. So anyway, this new bill's out, and you're going to have closed captioning available for you shortly on a lot of TV content that's making a move online. Hey, Cisco is going to be competing with Skype. I thought this was interesting that they are, you know, they have a good telepresence product that is an enterprise level for big businesses that is really very, very expensive. I actually looked into it a couple of years ago at a trade show that I was at that was more government related than it was, you know, for new media, for business. And, you know, when government or big businesses buy telepresence systems, you know, they spend huge money, tens of thousands of dollars. But Cisco is now going to be competing with products that cost as low as $200 with a heavily subsidized contract, or $500, or outright buy a system for about $1,000. Now, the question I have for you is, as you guys know on the Morning Tech Show, I use my Skype, you know, the Ohana source back here, and I can have two callers call in on Skype, and it shows the video, and it works just great. But the question really is then, would I consider having a more robust video conferencing system? The thing is, though, each person would have to have it, so it wouldn't just be me. If my guests would also have to have it as well, so it probably wouldn't work. But for $1,000, they're going to be going after small business, and they're going to be trying to compete with Skype. I don't know, or Google G Talk. Do you guys think that Cisco even has a chance in this? You know, Skype is free, right? Just have a webcam on your computer, and it just works. You know, we're talking to Japan two or three times a week with video Skype. And it does a great job, got a great picture. We can see the cousins, and they can talk with one another, and I can talk with Shogo's mother, and, you know, it works out well. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if that'll work. For small businesses, maybe. But I just don't think it's going to work out for, you know, individuals like you and I that just have, you know, periodic content with friends and family on online video. All right, the Pirate Bay user database is being exploited by spammers. If you've ever created an account over on Pirate Bay, be careful. Watch your email that's coming from them or coming from a third party, especially if it's inviting you to peer-to-peer type services. Somehow that database has gotten loose, and now you're in someone's spam list, so be careful out there. Of course, the Pirate Bay appeal is now in its second day. I was looking for a day one wrap-up, but they really didn't have, I didn't find anybody that had one. But the day two wrap up, of course, this is the appeal on their $1 million judgment and 1 year sentences to prison for the five individuals involved that were implicated and prosecuted on the Pirate Bay court case a year or so ago. But today it was all about the defense or the prosecution talking about, and it's all about the prosecution talking about lost sales, or the company, you know, basically how that the Pirate Bay cost millions and millions and millions of dollars in lost sales, and how it could be attributed to the Pirate Bay. I guess one of the guys that's in the co-founder of the Pirate Bay, Frederick Nege, was not even present because he said he didn't sleep real well, so he took a little extra nap before he came into court. I can see this guy's really worried about it. You know, you're an appeal for a court case you're in, and you know, he said, I'm just going to sleep in this morning. You know, no sweat. Start without me. I'll have fun. How many of you want to see how the new Firefox looks like? Well, they're getting close. The Ace Adulter posted a picture of what Firefox 4 was going to look like. He says, here's what's going to look like on Windows 7. And I thought, isn't this interesting? And you look at it, it's significantly different, folks. There is really nothing on the top of the browser, per se, but very, very interesting what this new design looks for Firefox 4. So if you want a quick peek there on what that's going to entail, I'll have the link up in the show notes for you, all right? And essentially what it is, for those of you that are listening, is the very top of the bar has no menu items, and you just have tabs to different content than your more traditional address bar at Google search. It's funny, they got Google search on the right on the address bar and then Bing in the middle of the page. So anyway, I'll have that link up in the show notes for you listening. You guys can check it out. Hey, Mark Cuban is making a comment on his website talking about the lessons of X marks. And let me, for those of you that are X marks fans, please go over to the blog at xmarks.com. And they are basically doing a pledge right now saying, okay, well, you pledge $10 to $20 a year to pay for a commercial account with X marks. And they're taking your email address, and you can go over there and you can pledge whether, and I did, I pledged that I would pay at least $10 to $20 a year for the privilege of using their service. But Mark Cuban goes on to say, hey, X marks was great. I used it. You know, it was, you know, this is a product that I really loved, but Firefox, Chrome, Internet Explorer all figured it out and say, hey, this would be a great feature, and added it to their own browsers. And now most browsers have a synchronization service of their own. And he says that this is a wake-up call for business owners that the question that needs to be asked, is this a real standalone product? Or can the competition add to my features to their own product and put me out of business? I think that's good. It's really good. So is this a real or standalone product, or can the competition add differentiated features to their own product and put me out of business? I think that's a question everyone should ask in business. Of course, along with the Apple TV release, the folks at Time Warner and a variety of different movie houses, folks that have, you know, libraries of content, have told British media execs that television is entering a second golden age of creativity and reward, but warn against the danger of low-cost digital giveaways. Now, I love this. I just love this. I really do. You guys know my stance on this. Here's what he, and let me read this to you again. This is just, man, this is classic denial. Jeff Bewkes, B-E-W-K-E-S, Bewkes, told British media execs that television is entering a second golden age of creativity. Oh, man. He said, how can you justify the running of your first-run TV shows individually for 99 cents an episode and thereby jeopardize the sale of the same shows as a series of branded networks that pay hundreds of millions of dollars and make those shows available to loyal listeners or viewers? These new entrants must meet criteria outlined by us. Oh, man. We talked a little bit about this guy's comments in a previous show. But really what set me off was him entering a golden age. Oh, man. Traditional media folks, they are scared to death of OTT. Absolutely scared to death. Now, OTT, over-the-top TV, they're insanely scared of this. And, you know, Trucker Tom, he wrote an article at Geek News Central. He hit the nail right on the head. And I just love this. This is a... he says OTT tsunami. and I love this picture because it was Trucker Tom was at home. He's got his his TV up. He's watching my show on his his kickback and his lazy boy. And he says in his article, we've been hearing quite a lot about the internet delivered video content lately. Trends sometimes seem to advance slowly over a long period of time, but then tumultuous market shifts seem to happen overnight. Blockbuster filed bankruptcy. Blockbuster was able to reconfigure their business to structure to compete effectively, while Netflix, it seems, has won the ongoing war. He says, streaming video and video podcasts have been around for years. These are not new ideas. However, what is new is the proliferation and increasing popularity of set-top boxes. He says, back in the 1980s, backyard satellite and TV dishes were a hobby among people that were looking for something different and as many choices as possible. The quest for choice ended up going mainstream in the force of commercial cable and satellite providers offering hundreds of channels. So he goes on to talk about this more. But when Trucker Tom watches my show on his television set, sitting back in his lazy boy with a remote control in his hand, that means the playing field is leveled. So when this guy at Time Warner, now don't get me wrong, we all know that they've got millions and billions of dollars in the bank. They have Congress in their back pocket, and they are going to do everything they can. They're going to fight like cats and dogs to make sure that you have to pay them a lot of money to see the content that they have. But what he continues to fail to realize is the choices that are going to be available to everyone is going to be so wide and broad. You thought having a 900 cable channels was something. You wait until there are 5,000 channels available for you, and you get to pick just which ones you want to subscribe to, and they're going to be in a list, nice, neat list, and all that other junk is going to go away. You're not going to have to. You're going to be able to build what you want to watch. And we'll see. Golden Age. Think it's the Golden Age? Think Golden Age TV? You know, TV viewing's up. Why is TV viewing up? Is it because we're using set-top boxes and OTT and Roku and Apple TV and soon to be Boxy and soon Samsung internet connected TVs and, you know, Blu-ray players that you can watch Netflix on? Is that why? I don't know. You got an Android phone? Google Android apps found to be sharing data. Uh-oh. Some of the most popular apps written for Google Android phones do not tell you what data they're gathering, says a group of research of U.S. researchers. This is an article around the BBC, and they broke this today. I don't know why this didn't break in the United States, but it broke on the BBC. This is where everyone was pointing to this today. So guess what's happening? A lot of apps are calling home to mama. The team of computer science from Intel Labs, Penn State, and Duke University chose 30 out of the 358 most popular Android apps that, when installed, ask permission to get at location, camera, and audio data. Using an extension to the Android operating system called Taint Droid, created by the team, they logged what the applications did. Now, hold on to your hats. It revealed that 15 of the 30 of the top 358, now again, they only tested 30, sent location information to advertisers, but did not inform users that the data was being shared. Some apps gathered and dispatched location information even when an application was not running, and some sent updates every 30 seconds. Carrying your phone around? It's calling home to mama. Hey, Todd's over at Starbucks. Hey, Todd's over at, drinking a beer at a bar. Hey, Todd's shopping at the mall. He just walked into the Apple store. And your phone's doing this, and you don't even know it. Folks, this has got to stop. This has to stop now. And here's what I'm going to recommend to all of you. Ask hard questions of the app developers. Read the terms of service that they present to you in a little box. And my advice is, only install apps from people that you and companies that you absolutely trust. Isn't that crazy? When we have a stat system at Raw Voice, the only thing I collect is basically I know that an IP requested a piece of media. I generally know that IP came from the state of Texas or Michigan or came from Japan or came from the UK. I know where that IP originated. But I don't use that to target an individual. There's no way I can shove in, we don't do this. I know some other podcasting companies do. We don't specify a specific ad for you. We don't do that. I think that's a little creepy. But we do gather data. We have data we have available. We know in big pieces. I know I have this percentage of listeners here and this percentage is there. And I know this country is getting this. And you know, those types of piece of data. I know if you got it on iTunes. I know if you got it on the Android, BlackBerry, if you watch me on the Roku. But we don't, there's no way, there's no, we don't do any type of tying at all back to any type of, I have no idea who those people are. And it's one reason why we have very strict access at Raw Voice to who can actually have access to our master database of stats. Not all company members, even our company employees or company owners, have even access to it. There's only two of us. So if I'm worried about, you know, making sure we keep our stuff private, imagine what a company that's there to exploit you is going to do with that info. It's crazy. It really, really is. Hey, my good friends over at Infusionsoft and Infusionsoft.com, I tell you, they've got some great products. You know, by the end of, since the time this show started, and by the time it ends, 140 new small businesses will be created. But, you know, a year from now, half or more than half will be out of business. If you're a small business owner, you don't need statistics to understand how hard it is to survive and grow, especially in the face of really these daily challenges that are going on and the way the economy is. Infusionsoft can help you. So if you're struggling to find a better way to grow your business, visit infusionsoft.com/pod1. Infusionsoft.com/pod1 to see it in action. All you got to do is go in there, put your name information in, watch a short time video. If it's a product you're interested in, they will contact you. If you're interested, say, hey, I want to talk more. If you're not, hey, I'm not interested. They're not going to high pressure you. There's no sales, you know, no hard sales guy that's going to call and try to make you give up your checkbook. But check them out. Infusionsoft.com, email marketing 2.0. Hey, if you're on Facebook, which everyone is, Facebook's rolling out higher resolution photo sharing. You're going to be able to upload more high resolution stuff to your system, to your account. So they're making that available. And a lot of people are pretty happy about that. Those of you on the East Coast, I should have said this beginning of the show, man, I know you guys are getting hammered. That storm is coming up there. But I didn't realize that like New York subways were so susceptible to flooding. And there's only like 70 pumps that pump the water out of the subway system in New York. That kind of like, that's a big city and only 70 pumps. So extreme rainfall over the next couple of days. And I was talking with friends of mine that are down in the Maryland area. And they said, man, we're getting flooding. And I was like, whoa. And I, you know, I lived in Maryland for a few years and never had no flooding in Maryland. It's not like the place that floods, but they're like, hey, we got water standing. And I was like, that's insane. So if you're on the East Coast, I hope you've had the hatches battened down and I hope you're doing okay. Hey, on the beginning of the show, I talked a little bit. I'm actually really going to be long here, so I'm going to have to wrap up the articles for tonight. But I wanted to share two things with you. On the Mobilize 2010 show or event, there was a discussion, you know, apps galore. What is it? How many? 200 and some thousand apps on the Apple App Store. The biggest challenge that app developers now is distribution. It's a pain point for mobile apps. They're having a huge time breaking out. There's so many apps that there is such competition across apps from app to app that it's, these folks are like pulling their hair out because they have these great platforms, great apps, and yet aren't breaking out because there's just too many. That was the thing that I was talking about the guys earlier in the year. We gotta ramp up distribution. And that's why this show's on Roku. That's why it's on Boxy. That's why it's gonna go into two more devices here in the coming weeks. What about distribution? Getting the shows out there, getting more exposure. And I guess I would be scared if I was an app developer and my business relied on, you know, these guys are gonna have to start budgeting thousands and tens of thousands of dollars to marketing. You know, I get press, that's what I get the most press releases now on, an app. I get, you know, probably 100 a day just on that. Not literally, I get that many a day saying, can you try a free app? We'll give you a free code. I just delete, because I just don't have time. But how do app developers break out? Good question. I don't know. Hey, Dave Weiner over at scripting.com. He wanted to talk about AngelGate a little bit. And it's, of course, the thing that happened last week. And Mike Arrington breaking a story about the Silicon Valley angel investors supposedly colluding. But I kind of read through this and just, okay, what's Dave got to say? But I think the thing I found that intrigued me about his article was talking about how he started his business in the 80s and how he raised money. And here's something that I thought was real telling. And I think it's so true. And it's about money. He says money is a good thing to have up to a point. But it only can buy you one thing that's more worth than all the rest, your time. After that, the returns diminish rapidly. Sure, it's nice to drive a luxurious car and live close to where it's all happening. These are good things. But if the choice is to give up yourself to have those things, there would be no choice. And boy, I'm like, man, I believe that so much. He goes on to say, there were other things I learned from not wanting for money. And this is, you know, I'm a struggling business owner. I have to work hard. So, you know, it's something that, I'm not in a point in a position in life where I have, like, I can just relax and take it easy. No, I have to work like a dog. But he says here, let me read this. This is so crucial. There were other things I learned from not wanting for money. Live a simpler life. Every time you have a choice to complicate things, choose the other way. I've made the more complicated choices many times. In hindsight, the good decisions were the ones that kept things simple. He says, one final thought, and this was being addressed to Michael Arrington on his first big win, you know, here. He said, one final thought, money does not buy you security. It can't. We're not secure. If you get rich and wonder why you don't feel secure, that's why. If you're poor, thinking the rich folk feel secure, they don't. For more on what I wrote 10 years ago, calls a transcendental money, here's the link. I thought this was classic. I think it was a great three paragraphs there. And this is for people that get money, people that are thinking about money, and people that want money. Those three paragraphs are really good stuff. So love to hear you guys' comments on that. Go over and check the whole article out. It's pretty nice. It's a full article, primarily addressed to Michael Arrington. But there's a lot of lessons in here, and this is classic. This is a really good piece by Dave Weiner. It went in my permanent bookmark list to come back and read from time to time, and so I encourage all of you guys to do the same thing. Okay, Logitech Tech Google TV is going to launch on October 6th. Microsoft Windows Spaces are going to be transformed, or Live Space is going to be transformed over into WordPress accounts. 30 million Live Spaces accounts, only about 1% are active, are going to get transferred into WordPress. So if you've got a Live Space account, be aware of that. Google launched a URL shortener today that they made public. How many URL shorteners do we need? And at what point do these things become negative effective? Take back your domains, folks. Quit using these shorteners. Use the long domain name as often as you can, because this is going to turn into like this vicious URL shortener lift. It's going to go from Google to Bitly to, you know, and then you're going to be like, I think you can do 5 hops before you run out of hops. So use your main URL whenever you can, all right? All right, that's all I've got here on regular content. Let me go ahead. I got two voicemails and a bunch of email. Man, I'm going to be crushed to get this all done. This first voicemail, I'm only going to play about 15 seconds of it. I listened to it. This is not the kind of call we want on the hotline. Here we go. You guys want to hear this? Check this out. Listen to this idiot.
Do you want more money?
Yes.
RodATM.com.
Oh, I'm not going to go to your website.
Grab a pen and write this down right away.
No, I'm not going to take a pen and take your website down. Does this person think by calling my voicemail hotline and giving me some website where I'm going to make money that I'm going to go to his stupid website? Do you really think so? Do people really make money on this? Are there people that are stupid enough to go to these websites? I don't get it. I don't. I got to add that number to the national do not call list. Okay. You guys know Brian, right? The deep voice Brian. Okay. You know he's fun when he calls. It's going to be worth it. Don't leave. Here we go.
Hey, Todd. It's Brian in Brooklyn here. You got me curious. So I've been doing a little follow-up research on a few of the articles from your last show. Now, there seems to be a common thread tying 3 of the stories together. That UFO story from the Telegraph?
Yeah.
Well, the UFO was spotted again recently. Alien craft was seen hovering above the same cliffs at the same time when the multimillionaire owner of the Segway scooter company drove his personal transport over the steep edge and plunged to his death. It's being reported that there was one whistleblower amongst the aliens who's leaked some photos of the crew. A couple of the alien crew members in the photo had their helmets removed, and a forensic imaging specialist has identified two of the beings as United States Senators Hatch and Leahy. It's presumed that the rest of the crew are all Senate members of the Infringement and Counterfeit Act. Apparently, all their spacesuits were adorned with the Nike logo. So, the speculation at this time is that the Segway founder was considered to be infringing on the athletic footwear industry. And it's unclear whether Jimmy Hetzelden was the victim of a mind control beam or his Segway scooter was simply disabled by the alien spacecraft in the same way the nukes on the military bases had been rendered useless. I'll send you a link to that story.
Oh, I'm sure you will.
Hey, getting back down to Earth, all these new set-top boxes that are coming out?
Yeah.
I think I know the killer feature that would really set one apart from the rest. You ready?
Oh, boy.
DVR to iPod. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it's Apple TV, or DVR to Android if it's Google TV, or to any portable media device for that matter. Of course, the biggest obstacle this would be the copyright stuff and how to implement the DRM. But, you know, if anyone can convince the RIAA and the likes that it can be pulled off, it's Apple, you know. And unfortunately, it's probably true. You know, they're so good at controlling what you can do with the media they sell you. I mean, I'd really like to see this feature available for Google TV and Android. You know, without knowing much about either the new Apple TV or Google TV, my gut feeling is that I would go with the Google TV. I just can't take Apple's controlling. You know, I recently tried the new iPod Touch, but returned it. Beautiful little device, but having to supply payment information in order to install a free app from the App Store, that it just gets me all bent out of shape, you know, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. But I know recently you were talking about not needing mobile video for yourself, but maybe for your kids. You know, but think about it all the time when you're flying. I mean, you could consume some video then, right?
Yep.
I'm on a train for 45 minutes a day, twice a day, with gasoline situation looming, public transport and carpooling is seeming more and more viable. So, personal video, DVR your news programs or anything else you want for your commute. What do you think? DVR to iPod. All right, book them, Dano.
Hey, Brian, you just may have gave away a billion-dollar idea there. Hey, you know something? The you're watching Hawaii Five-0, aren't you? Hey, the you know, so far as the mobile video, what I was referring to is whenever I travel, I always have videos loaded. I have podcasts. I have people's you know, different stuff downloaded into it so I can watch video, listen to audio. The mobile video I was talking about was mobile TV from Fox, NBC, you know, those guys that have big towers that are transferring, you know, transmitting on HD. Those guys. Those are who I'm talking about having for mobiles. I don't want to watch their content when I'm mobile, but I will watch people like my content when I'm mobile. Hey, thanks for your call. And so far as the, I know you were tongue in jest on the Segway thing, and you know, sad that this guy was killed. And we don't want to forget that, of course, because there's obviously family members out there that are hurting. But it was classic, dude. That was good. So feel free to call any time. And I think you had your bass cranked a little bit too high that time, but it was good. Hey, got an email from Chetta. He says, hey, Todd, I listened to you talk about Segway computer owner that died. Sad story. But maybe you want to look at this YouTube video. It's hilarious. And basically, it's about people riding Segways and you can imagine what the video is about. He says, also about the government spying on us illegally. I wrote a small blog post about the infamous Echelon, also known as Signet. See here, he's got a link up to an article he wrote just recently. So I have this link up in the show notes. Hey, I got an email from Chester. He says, sent this, and you did not do a call on your last show, so I don't know if you got my email. Chester, definitely got your email. Just haven't been going through and naming every name that we got for reviewers for the podcast awards. I was looking at the wrong camera there. But I've got your stuff. You're good to go. Got an email here from Jim. He says, "Hey, Todd, homemade spacecraft. Check this video out over on Vimeo. It's so cool." So I have a link up in the show notes on that. Got an email from Cindy. And we talked about these folks last year, folks, and so pay attention. You got some kids getting ready to go to school. She says, "Hey, Todd, first of all, I want to say thank you for mentioning our student blogger scholarship last year. We were trying to get the word out again for this year's scholarship and would greatly appreciate your help. We just announced the fourth blogging scholarship and thought you might be interested in it. It offers student bloggers a chance to be awarded a $10,000 scholarship. We've been awarding student blogging scholarships since 2006. I'm hoping your readers will once again take advantage of the opportunity. The application additional information are located here. I'll have this up online for you. The application due date is October 21st. The winner will be announced on November 2nd. If you feel your readers will find this beneficial, please feel free to share our scholarship on your blog. And here's the logo if you'd like to use it." And this was from Cindy. They're over at collegescholarships.org. And I'd love to have one of the listeners, kids, get this scholarship. 10 grand for the offer. For the taking there. If you've got a child, a high schooler that is blogging and needs a college scholarship, 10 grand there. All you got to do is go over and apply. And it's not a paid thing. They just send me this every year and I talk about it. Got an email from Herbie. Say, "Hey, Ty, enjoy listening to your show. And I thought you may be interested in this lawsuit where the court ruled plaintiff did not have a reasonable expectation of privacy in information published on a social networking website." And this was basically, we talked about this already, but an individual was had been sued by a company that he was basically claiming some sort of disability, and yet his Facebook site showed him going on vacations and videos and him doing all kinds of stuff. So the plaintiff got access to his Facebook account and is probably going to be very damaging to this individual's case. Got an email here from Kai. He said, "Hey, Todd, I started listening to your show about a month ago. In the most recent show, 614, you asked us about our thoughts on the different tablet devices out there and what we think. The question hit me right on because that's exactly what I'm doing right now. At first, when the news about the iPad first came out, I thought to myself, wow, I'm so getting one. But as more and more news came out about it, it turned me off. Why? Because I want to be able to do multitask with it, and it has to be open enough for me to do things that I want to do with it. Right now, I'm just waiting for the tablet war to be over so I can see what's all on the plate to choose from. What I'm really waiting is a tablet to come out that actually runs an OS like Windows, OS 10, or Linux. Also, as a note, not bashing on an iPad or anything, but I've heard a lot of different things from different users. My cousin has an iPad and he barely uses it anymore. On the other hand, I've read reviews where some people say that they've been too productive with it and had the problems trying to set it down, so I don't know what to think anymore. Just 2 cents on your question. P.S. Keep up the great work. I really enjoy your shows. I'm currently listening to your podcast from your website at work, so it all works great for me. Kai." Hey, Kai, you know, my wife loves her iPad. I haven't seen her use a notebook in weeks, and I have mine with me all the time, and if I'm waiting for the kids or if I'm in almost anywhere, I can put, boom, I got it up and check email. I can check a couple things I normally check, check on Twitter, do some Facebook stuff. That's how I'm using it, and it's instant on, and that's what I love. I'll be honest. And I don't use the app so much, email, Safari, you know, just a handful of things, and for me, well worth it, and much better than being on my little iPhone screen. I got an email from Tim. He said, "Hey, a professor from the University of California, Santa Cruz, describes the possibility of life on this planet to be 100%. I think you guys will get a kick out of this. And I'm really out of time, folks. So I'm going to save the rest of the email to the next show. And Adam, Tim, and Richard got those for you. And got one here from Pledge Bank as well. We'll have that all up in the next show. Everyone have a great week and a great weekend. Be safe out there. Have fun. And come join me Saturday morning for the Morning Tech Show. It'll be a lot of fun. We're going to, again, have Rick Calvert on from Blog World and New Media Expo. We're going to be talking about the show and a bunch of other stuff. Techie, if you've got something you want me to cover on Saturday in more detail, This is a time for you to send me an email at geeknews@gmail.com saying, Todd, I want you to cover this in detail on the morning tech show, and we'll get in deep with it. And I'll have a panel of a guest on that'll be able to contribute as well. Is, as always, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. Everyone be great. Have a safe one. Take care and aloha.